I don't know.
It's now time for The Baseline, a weekly roundup of spring high school sports, including baseball, softball, track, soccer, and more. With your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep reporter, Dave Weber. Now, The Baseline.
Hey, and good morning as the tide recedes under the waterfront studios of historic KGY here serving our community for over 100 years, just by a few months, I think. And a very happy, lucky Friday the 13th to everyone. Glad to be here. I am Noel Wall, along with the Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber. I know I've opened the last three shows talking about our trip to Florida, and I'm not going to do that, but I am going to make an observation that I forgot to mention, and that's based not only on that trip, but on a trip we drove around down to San Francisco and around the Bay Area and some other places, talking with some friends. If you want to live anywhere in America, this is the time. Pack up, go wherever you want to live, whether it's the mountains of Colorado, you want to live in the desert Southwest, you want to live in the Keys, go. There are help wanted signs everywhere. I don't think there's ever been such an opportunity in my lifetime. Let's see. Today's show, Ethan Coleman is headed for Division I, the big time in distance running. Last Friday, I saw him run this 1,300-meter event at the Bob Shaner meet in a downpour. And he put out over 100 meters between him and Aberdeen's Julian Campos, his closest competition. It was almost a dash the way he won going away. Dave, you got to talk to him after that event.
He said that after three laps, he was just holding on, didn't know where he was, just in pain from, the typical running thing, but managed to get it done. And Coach Jesse Stevick was pointing out afterwards that he was closer to his PR in that race than anybody else in it. So
yeah,
he handled the weather very well.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't think it made the interview, but yeah, I heard that as well. That's quite a bit. Other local athletes also had some good showings, and we're going to hear much about that meet, I'm sure, as the show moves forward. Also today, Timberline baseball coach Mark Robidoux is retiring. And Dave, you talked with him about leaving the team, although not leaving the school.
Yeah, he'll continue to be a PE teacher there, and the definitely can tell from the interview how much affection he has for the Blazers baseball program and how much he wants it to continue to be good. So that's be an interesting talk, too.
Yeah, and Yelm softball potentially just one game away from the state tournament. I think if they win next week, they go. You talked with Lindsay Walton, the coach. We've had her on before, but you had another little conversation with her. And also with senior players Vivian Watts, Molly Embry, and Ashley Avon. They all sounded positive, Dave.
Yeah, they've been on a tear. They started out the season. They had some losses very early. Came in second this year. They often have come in first in the 3A South Sound Conference, but they're second behind Peninsula this year. But they haven't lost much lately. They've only had one loss in their last 10 or 15 games. I should have gotten an exact number on that, but it's been a while, except for one loss to first place Peninsula. They will start out Thursday at noontime at the rack against Auburn Riverside. That's confirmed now. And if they win that game, they will go straight to state. There are other options to get to state through that tournament as well if they were to lose that one. And it's going to be always interesting when Yelm gets to state, because they seem to really do well, but they've never raised the biggest trophy. So be an interesting postseason for the Tornadoes.
That'll be fun. I apologize for the cough. I pushed the wrong button there. A lot to get to today, and let's start with, as we always do, Pope John Paul II. They had a big crosstown matchup with Northwest Christian. Did that come off? I know things got rained out for some people.
No, it did, and it's pretty interesting, too, because their baseball team, Pope John's baseball team, is 7-10, and their season, their official season, as far as playing for championships, ended. They were in the district playoffs, and they were beaten on Monday by Darrington up at Heidelberg Park in Tacoma. But then they have scheduled a quick series with Northwest Christian after the districts is over, and they lost 10-8 in the first edition of the game yesterday out at the rack, and they will meet again on Tuesday. So a little derby series after the postseason ended for them with a loss to Darrington.
Yeah, something that could be a future tradition right there.
Well, it will be, because next year, if people remember, we've talked about this before, Northwest Christian will be dropping down to 1B, so they will be in the same classification from here on out. So they will definitely develop that rivalry. And people that aren't aware of these smaller private schools in the area, they are not any more than 2 miles apart. You know, Northwest Christian's up there by the Martin Way exit of the freeway, and Pope John Paul is right next to St. Martin's, so not very far apart at all. So what a great rivalry that the future will hold.
Absolutely. What else going on with Pope John Paul?
Well, they played some softball. They'd taken a long bye there, but they came back, and now they're finally done with their season, I believe. They lost to Quilcene and Muckleshoot Tribal. They'll end up 2-6. And unfortunately, the information wasn't there on the Eagles track team. They were scheduled to compete in the SeaTac League Championships on Wednesday. And we've gotten so used to athletic.net being the Bible of high school track and field, and everything's there like 5 minutes after it ends. I just looked yesterday to do that, and there was no results. So hopefully when they finish their bi-district meet, districts 1 and 2 for Pope John Paul, not 3 and 4 like so many of the others. That meet is Thursday, also scheduled for Franklin Pierce's track. So hopefully we'll have some good results from that and be able to tell which Eagles are going on to state.
All right, very good. That brings us to Northwest Christian, where my note for boys baseball says, see above.
Yeah, it was above, and there was some highlights for Northwest Christian as they did defeat Pope John Paul yesterday. Cooper Walker doubled. He drove in 3 runs. Caden Lanham tripled, and he drove in a pair of runs in that 10-8 win over Pope John Paul. That brings Northwest to 3-11 on the year, and they will, of course, as I just mentioned, play the Eagles again on Tuesday.
All right. And what else we got for Northwest Christian?
Well, we got some track and field, and we have a basketball note at the end of the thing.
Okay.
Asher Ingram, who's done well for the Wolverines this year, he highlighted their efforts at the Bob Shaner Invitational, as you mentioned a little bit ago. He finished second in the boys' 3,200 meters. He had a PR of 9:59.01, so he ducked under 10 minutes for the first time. And that is the second best mark in the 2B classification all season long. So that's a good run for Asher. They will be in Raymond this afternoon for the Pacific League Championship meet. And in other news, as I alluded to, multi-sport athlete Junior Babber, who was a good football player for them in the six-man game that they play, he has signed to play basketball for Grays Harbor College. So always good to see someone from the one of the very smallest schools actually make it up to the collegiate level.
All right. He'll be a choke setter in Grays Harbor. Let's see. On to Rainier Mountaineers. Boys did not play. The girls got rained out. We're supposed to play Raymond, but they do have still game on tap.
Yes, they do. And they are on a winning streak, 5-game winning streak. They did win some games before that game with Raymond was called off. They beat Napavine, Winlock, Tudor Lake, Kalama. And then yesterday's game was rained out, but they scheduled to end the regular season Monday at 4 p.m. at the rack against Stevenson. Could not discern who they'll be playing in the first round of the playoffs, but they will be in the district playoffs. All the way through this report today, people are going to notice that baseball and boys soccer are already deep into their playoffs, but the girls softball does not start the playoffs till next week. So they kind of staggered that out a little bit.
All right. And word from the track?
Yeah. There was word from the track as Jeremiah Nubby, who is, as always, starred this week, this time in the Shaner meet. He had a meet record 195 feet 7 inches in the discus, and he finished second place in the shot put. A little bit of bad news for Jeremiah this week. He dropped out of the national lead in the discus as Brett Schwartz of Santa Fe Trail High School in Kansas hurled a 210-7 throw that bettered Nubby's Washington State record from earlier this year of 207-4. He does still lead the America's high schoolers in the hammer throw, though, at 234 feet, 6.5 inches. And the Mountaineers are hosting the Central League meet today at 4 p.m., so all kinds of track and field going on at Rainier this afternoon.
I got a chance to watch Jeremiah throw the discus last Friday, again, in that downpour at Tumwater Stadium there. And I don't blame him. He didn't take off his hoodie or sweatpants. It was pouring down rain. I don't know how far he threw it. It was quite a ways. Looked like he probably did pretty well in that particular meet.
Yeah, you know what was interesting? Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say what was interesting about that meet, you know, I was there with you and it was pouring down rain and it was misery and you're thinking that nobody's going to do anything. Not only were three meet records set in that meet, there were tons of PRs by kids in the running races and the field events. So really interesting that how many athletes overcame that downpour to actually do pretty well.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun. On to 1A, Tenino Beavers. The boys fell to Elma at Hoquiam's historic Olympic Stadium. That was a WPA project to build that.
Yeah, it's an interesting place. It's built as a baseball stadium, but you see they primarily, well, not primarily, but it's been used a lot for football as well, so you kind of think of it as that, but it is a baseball. Didn't they have a minor league team out there for a while?
They did. The Grays Harbor Gulls played there for 3 years or something.
Yeah. So anyway, that they Beavers are still alive. They won their first game in the district tournament 4-1 over Seton Catholic, and then they got thumped by Elma in the game you're talking about 10-3, but they're still alive, and they are within 2 hours from this moment of meeting Edenville in a very early 10 a.m. game. That's a loser out game down in Castle Rock, and the winner will play either Kingsway or Montesano at 12:30 this afternoon for the district's third and final berth to state. Those games got moved up because they're fearful of some horrendous weather this afternoon late. So they decided to play early and try to get it in before the weather comes in. During the 1A EVCO season, just to kind of preview the game with Edenville, though, Tenino won that series from the Cruisers 2-1. And all the games, no matter who won, were high scoring. The winner scored at least 8 runs in all those games. So it should be a entertaining game. I guess you can still make it to Castle Rock by 10 o'clock if you're hurried.
Yeah.
So
freeway 70 miles an hour going south. So
So if you want to try to get there, you can. But Tenino's still alive for a chance to go to state. So see what happens there. Softball, though, not the same story for them this year. They're 1-17 after a Monday loss to Edenville. And the Beavers have 2 games left. They're both at home. They play Montesano in a league game today at 4, and tomorrow in a non-league game that's been postponed by rain at least once against Timberline, also at 4 o'clock that on the Saturday. Soccer finished the Kevin Schultz era, I'll call it, 10-10. They lost in shutouts to district playoff teams Seton Catholic and Montesano to end the year. Schultz, of course, has been the coach of Tenino's girls and boys for several years. He moves on to coach the men at South Puget Sound Community College next season. In track and field, the Beavers were the only local team not to, well, no, I take that back. Pope John Paul didn't go either, but one of only 2 local teams not to go to the Shaner Invitational. They went instead to the Sputter Classic in Ridgefield last Friday. And didn't really make any impact there. Nobody finished high. They go to Montesano this afternoon for the 1A EVCO championship meet at 3:30.
All right. We will move on to 2A Evergreen today. There's so much audio late in the show. We're going to move the brakes around just a little bit. So Shelton High Climbers, the boys, I see 16-5 with a Tuesday win over Mark Morris. Am I right?
Well, unfortunately for them, you're wrong by 1 number. They Uh-oh. Then proceeded to, they beat Mark Morris, but then they proceeded to lose to Tumwater. So they're 16-6. They are still alive, though. They will meet Ridgefield on the Sputters home field, which is a city, beautiful city stadium down there in Ridgefield, known as the Outdoor Recreation Center. They'll play that game tomorrow at 2 p.m. for the district's final state tournament berth. Losing team is out, of course. And in softball, Sheldon is 5-15. They had a win over Black Hills, but they lost to WF West and Aberdeen. And in a pretty wild 15-11 loss to the Bobcats, Sadie Makowicz tripled and singled twice to drive in 4 runs, while Danica Squire also had a triple among her 3 hits and drove in 2 runs. And Shelton will host Rochester today at 4 o'clock. track and field, the climbers got some strong distance performances at the Shaner meet. Jacob Miller won the boys 3200 in a PR of 957.77, while Alana Karstens won the girls 1600. And Alana leads the state in the 3200 2A and is eighth among runners in the 1600. So the climbers have a star in the girls' distances, obviously. And they will compete in the 2A EVCO Championship meet this afternoon, which is at Centralia at 3:30.
All right, very good. That brings us to Rochester. The Warriors look like 9-11 after losing to Black Hills last Friday. Or no, beating Black Hills last Friday, but losing to Hudson's Bay the next day.
That is correct. That was a playoff game for the EVCO's final district playoff spot. I guess I said playoff twice in a few words. Final district spot. And then they did lose to Hudson's Bay 4-3 in a loser-out first-round playoff game. So they are finished. And in that season-ending game, Hayden Pietras was the offensive highlight. He went 2-for-3 and drove in a run. Softball did not play. They remained 12-4, and they are awaiting the release of the District 4 playoff bracket to see who they meet next. Meanwhile, soccer finished up 9-12. They beat Washougal in the district playoff game, but then lost to Columbia River and Aberdeen to be bounced out, and their track and field team will be, along with every other team in the EVCO, at Centralia for that championship meet this afternoon.
And I kind of hate to bring it up, but that Columbia River loss was kind of a thumping, 8-0.
Well, they not to be unexpected. Rochester is respectable in soccer. Columbia River is elite. They're playing Tumwater for the district championship. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but they lost to Tumwater for the district title last year, and they're playing for it again this year. So kind of at a different level than Rochester is right now. Not to say Rochester can never get there, but you're right, they aren't there yet, and they took a pretty hard beating.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our first segment for this morning. Don't go away. We're going to be back with more 2A baseball, fast pitch, and more later, 3A, and of course 4A. We got those interviews with a retiring Timberline coach, Mark Robidoux, Yum fast pitch coach Lindsey Walton, and seniors Vivian Watts, Molly Embry, and Ashley Avon coming up. Plus, Olympia distance runner Ethan Coleman. All that and more. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Reduced speeds will begin on 509 heading south in SeaTac at 128th Street caused by collision. On 167 southbound between 18 and 512, your drive is 8 minutes. In Seattle, as you approach mid-Boeing Fields on I-5 northbound, an accident is blocking the left lane. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by Taco Bell. Give yourself a new morning routine with the Bell Breakfast Box from Taco Bell. It's filled with a grande toasted breakfast burrito, hash brown, two Cinnabon Delights, and a coffee. Swing by participating locations for a limited time only. Drinks excludes freezes.
Shelton Floor Covering reminds everyone that giving blood is painless, just takes a few minutes, and can be a very rewarding experience. Do your part. Give blood. Give the gift of life. This reminder, a courtesy of Shelton Floor Covering, 1306 Olympic Highway South in Shelton. Trust them for your residential and light commercial floor coverings, including carpet laying, binding, sewing, and repairs, laminate, linoleum, and tile work, too. That's Shelton Floor Covering. Call them at 360-427-2822.
From Olympia, your TVW update. What's happening in state government, politics, policy, and law?
We can't simply let this march its way across Washington.
It's a battle, says state entomologist Sven Spichiger, that the eastern United States has already lost, but Washington needs to win.
Japanese beetle is a pest that has been established throughout the eastern portion of the United States for decades, and it's a little past the Mississippi River as you move west. Here in Washington State, we're considered a Category 1 state, and what that means is we don't have populations of Japanese beetle here.
But alarms were sounded in late 2020 when the State Department of Ag discovered the small, colorful beetle had established a beachhead in the Yakima Valley town of Grandview.
one of the great citizens there in Grandview had actually taken a picture of probably 75 to 100 eating her roses.
The stakes are high for Washington farmers and for those who enjoy a glass of wine or a cold beer.
Unfortunately, where we found this, there are a lot of grapes. They also impact hops. A lot of folks don't know, but Washington leads the world in hops production.
The Department of Agriculture is proposing a 49-square-mile quarantine area surrounding the town of Grandview, which will bring new requirements to the transport of crops and things like topsoil, sod, or potted plants.
TVW on statewide cable, online at tvw.org, on Roku, and the TVW mobile app.
Homeless people have given up on the possibility of change. They have lost hope to the streets, to poverty, and to addiction. Hi, this is Skip from the Olympia Union Gospel Mission. With your support, we can offer them hope and an opportunity to rebuild their shattered lives by providing meals, counseling, shelter, and most of all, compassion. Change is possible, so help us provide a path to hope by donating $25 today at OUGM.org. Thank you.
What if you could be a part of something bigger than yourself? Something meaningful. Something that's helped shape the lives of men for over 300 years. What if you could transform not just your own purpose, but your entire community? As the leading fraternal organization in the world, we unite men of good character who share a belief in the brotherhood of mankind. More than a man, a Mason. Visit Freemason-WA.org.
Sponsored by the Grand Lodge of Washington and aired in cooperation with the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Rejuvenate IV Hydration and Wellness Center is located in Olympia on Lily Road. Lose 30% weight and gain 25% muscle at Rejuvenate IV Hydration and Wellness Center. Proud to sponsor KGY's Centennial Celebration.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Let her go. Welcome back on a nice Friday the 13th. You're with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on the Baseline, Thurston County's very own high school sports roundup show. And very big thanks to sponsors like McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances that'll make your life easier. Find McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also, Choice Regional Health Network. Choice is your partner for community health and services. Back to the 2A, where Black Hills Wolves have a winning record overall, but most of their losses have come during the regular season.
Yeah, Black Hills, they're finally done. They finished up 11-11 in baseball after losing to Rochester in that tiebreaker we were talking about a minute ago. So they're done. Softball keeps their season still going, but they're still looking for their first win. 0-17 after losing to Sheldon, Centralia, and WF West this week. Against the Bearcats, Madison Parker did have two hits, and Ella Goheen drove in the only Wolves run. Soccer finished 4-11. They lost 2-0 to Capital in a season-ending non-league game this week. And meanwhile, in track and field, Austin Imsland finished third in the boys' shot put at the Shaner meet, and the Wolves will be at the 2A meet, 2A EVCO championship meet in Centralia today.
All right, that brings us to Tumwater, where boys are doing pretty well and beat Hawkinson this week.
Yes, they did. The T-Birds are ranked number 5 in the state RPI. They're 17-5, and their two playoff wins over Hawkinson and Shelton guaranteed them a berth to the state tournament, regardless of the outcome of today's district championship game, which they will be playing against top-seeded Columbia River at the aforementioned Ridgefield Outdoor Recreation Center. In that win over the High Climbers, Grayson Reveal and Kyler Collier drove in two runs each, and Jordan Hansen struck out 6 to get the win on the mound. And the championship game against the Rapids begins at 6 p.m. this evening. Plenty of time to get all the way down to Ridgefield to see that one if you want to. Don't know how the game will be, but that is a really nice baseball stadium, particularly for high school to call home, and that is Ridgefield High's shared home field with a college summer league team that plays. I think they're known as the Ridgefield Raptors, and it has chair back seats, you know, great scoreboard, you know, everything you could possibly want. So,
wow.
Yeah, if you're a Tumwater fan and you're a little iffy about the drive will be a haul, but the accommodations when you get there are kind of nice.
Okay.
So 6 p.m. championship game, Tumwater and Columbia River. Softball ranked even higher than the boys. They're ranked number 4 in the RPI, and they're 15-1. They beat Rochester, Centralia, and Black Hills this week. And just to pick out one highlight, Maddie Hurley belted a grand slam against Rochester. So memorable moment for her there. And they will travel to Centralia for a 4:30 p.m. regular season game today, again with softball. The postseason begins next week. And soccer, an identical matchup to baseball for the identical stakes. Tumwater will play for the district soccer championship against Columbia River tomorrow at home at 1 p.m. And that comes after a Zach Schmidt goal was the only scoring in a 1-0 semifinal win over the only 2A team that beat Tumwater so far this season, WF West. And they are now 14-5 on the year. They beat Woodland 4-0 in the first round of districts, and they are assured a state berth regardless of tomorrow's result against the Rapids.
That is really exciting. Tumwater does so well in so many things. And, of course, they hosted that big track meet this week, last week.
They certainly did. And just to review what the Bob Shaner Invitational stands for, it's kind of the local all classifications championship meet. And in other words, instead of 2A, 3A, 4A, you're looking at who's just the best in this area, regardless of what school they go to, what size school they go to. And the T-Birds prove that they're pretty good. The way they score that meet is they combine the girls and boys points together. And Tumwater finished second to Olympia with 210 points. And on the boys' side, they had several standouts. Reese Howell finished second in the 800 meters. Seth Weller won the 300 hurdles and came in second in the 110-meter hurdles. He had a PR of 15.46 in the 110. That is third in the state in 2A. Makai Odoms won the long jump and was second in the triple jump. And for the girls, Ava Jones was second in the 200 meters. Annabelle Clapp, third in the 200 and third in the 400. And in the 400, she ran a 1:53. And that is seventh in 2A thus far. Alyssa Duncan was the big star. She won the 100 hurdles in a photo finish of 15.48. That is the third best mark among state's 2A hurdlers. And she also claimed the long jump and triple jump and was named the female athlete of the meet for the Shaner meet with all those victories mixed in there. Natalie Sumrock won the javelin. She already led the state from an earlier mark, and she climbed to seventh in the shot put with a 36 feet, 7 1/4 inch PR.
Wow. All right, very good. That brings us up to 3A, where my information falls into a black hole, but maybe you can tell us what's going on with River Ridge.
Well, I have a scant bit more than a black hole worth of information. In softball, Ridge is 5-15. They beat North Thurston and Central Kitsap since our last show, but they did lose to league-leading Peninsula. And they will finish their season today up at CK with a 4:30 p.m. game. And in track, Taylor Dillon was the highlight in the Shaner meet for the Hawks. She was second in the girls' discus with a PR for her of 108.3. The South Sound Conference meet is today and tomorrow at North Thurston. And so that's where River Ridge will be, along with a lot of the other teams we cover.
And North Thurston's the next one to talk about.
All right. Well, their baseball team is 11-10. They got district victories over Stadium and Mountain View. And in the Stadium game, Brent Haggerty, he went 6 1/3 innings, and then Owen Bryan came in to get the final two outs. as they combined for a no-hitter against Stadium. And then they got even more good pitching against Mountain View. This time it was Caden Melzer pitching an 11-strikeout, 5-hitter. And they will play Kelso at Auburn Riverside tomorrow at 3 p.m. for fifth place in districts and a state berth. And it is not a loser-out game. The defeated team will immediately play for seventh place. So a couple of games on tap for the Rams tomorrow.
All right.
In softball, they fell to 5-12 after losing to River Ridge and Peninsula. And they will host Timberline today at 4 o'clock. The game's pretty big for Timberline. We'll talk about that when we get to the Blazers. And in track, Thurston had no event winners in the Shaner. And as mentioned, we'll host the league meet today and tomorrow.
All right. That does bring us to Timberline Trailblazers, where the boys have had a pretty decent season.
Well, they finished an even 500 at the end. They lost a heartbreaking 4-3 district playoff loser out game to Kelso, in which Timberline grabbed a 3-1 lead in the top of the seventh. Looked like, hey, we're going to be celebrating. But then they yielded three runs in the bottom of the final inning. A couple of misplays involved in that, too. It wasn't just all Kelso hammering the ball. So kind of a heartbreaking loss to make some mistakes and lose 4-3 in your playoff opener.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned already, their longtime coach, Mark Rubidoux, retired after the game, sent out a tweet almost immediately following the last out saying that it was time to turn things over to his assistants if they are hired by the school ultimately.
And he talks about in that interview, that in the interview, and let's hear that interview right now.
What made you think this was the time to step aside?
You know, I've been doing it a long time, and I just did not want to be one of those coaches that held on. And there's a little bit of fire you have as a young coach. You can put a lot of time into it. I just felt like my son's a senior this year, so my youngest son's graduating, and I just felt like I needed to hand this over. I have two really good coaches, Coach Pockrington and Coach LaPalme, and they're young and ready to go. And I just felt like I didn't want to hold on. I wanted to give them the opportunity because I truly want what's best for the program. This wasn't about me. I love doing it, but I just felt like it was time. It was hard to make that decision because I truly have given a lot of my life to it and created something I'm very proud of. So I had amazing parents and kids. I've had great leadership at the school that let me coach, and I just felt like it was a good time to go.
And do you think one of your assistants will get the job?
I sure hope so. I think both would be great candidates, and that was part of the reason for me letting it go was I felt like we had good candidates within the program, and they're both teachers at the school. And that, you know, you talk to any coach, if you can coach in the school, it is a big plus.
In your term at Timberline, you had left before and come back. What was the...
So I had my sons growing up, and I wanted to coach my sons. So I want to say it was about 8 years into the program, maybe a little bit more, I'm not sure. And I didn't want to miss out on coaching my kids. Believe it or not, both my kids decided baseball was not what they wanted to do. And they both chose soccer. And so I was a soccer coach, and I was happy with that. I just didn't want to miss out on them. And I had an assistant at the time, Derek Weldon, who's the head coach at Olympia. And I, again, felt extremely comfortable giving it to him. He is a really good coach. So I had somebody to give the program to, and that allowed me to coach my kids. And then Paul Bean came to me, the coach after Derek. So Derek was there for just a few years. And then when he resigned, then it was given to Matt Acker. And a week before the season was going to start, decided he did not want to do it. And so they were stuck with no coach with literally a week to go before. And Paul came up and asked me if I would please do it. There's no way I would say no. I just love Timberline. And I said, you got it. And then I coached. And now my kids were done. I had some time. And the parents were just amazing. And they asked, please stay on. And, you know, when you just feel wanted, it's sure hard to say no when you love something like that, and the parents and players also want you. They really made me feel like I was an important part of Timberline baseball. And so I just stayed on, and I decided to keep going with it and keep doing it.
So that kind of leads into my next question. What do you think you'll miss the most about it?
Oh, my goodness. It was so emotional last Saturday just telling the kids that this was going to be it for me. And I had a real hard time holding it together. And to be honest, I didn't hold it together very well. But I'm just going to miss the player-parent interactions, like those friendships that you create. I'm going to miss that more than anything. I know we won a lot, and that sure helps. But you just build relationships with these players, these parents that I still have these. We have a golf tournament every year, and these parents all come back to support the program. And I love seeing them. A lot of them have turned out to be good friends for me as well. So I think that piece of it, the camaraderie that you build, the relationships you build, that's going to be the hardest thing for me to kind of let go. And like I said, I'm glad we were winning. It sure keeps things on a high note. To be honest, I love being a mentor. I think I honestly do things the right way. With positive reinforcement, you can ask some of the players in my program. I was not a yeller and screamer as far as negative. I really wanted them to compete because they didn't want to disappoint me, not because they were in fear of me. You know, show them that you care about them and you're going to work with them and they're going to compete and play hard and give everything you got. And then they want to play for you because you believe in them and it's positive. And I feel like I got the most out of my players by doing that.
Are there any special memories, like a particular game or season that stand out in your mind?
You know, every year you get different games that you look back on and you're just like, man, that was great. And some of them are not always the positive ones, unfortunately, that you remember. You, as a coach, I'm very competitive. Some of the games that really stand out are ones that maybe I felt like I made a mistake. Sometimes those are the ones that eat at you, the ones that you think, man, if I just would have done this different or whatever. But I think Safeco, when we had the opportunity to play at Safeco, that was an amazing experience for me personally that I really, really enjoyed because for once you're playing in Safeco and you get to go through all the media things in Safeco and you get in the dugouts. And that was a pretty incredible experience and so many big wins, you know, that I don't know how you can put one ahead of another. It's only been at Safeco a few times.
Yeah.
So we got lucky enough that that was the year. And the other thing I'll always remember about that year also is we were also, not only were we a good team that year, we were state academic champs as well that year. I'm very proud of the guys for that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you so much.
Timberline boys baseball coach Mark Robidoux coached his last game this week.
Yeah, he did, and he was there for 15 years across the two different stints that he had. So, quite a career. And he was talking about playing at Safeco. That was the one of the many trips the Blazers made to the state tournament over the years. Usually didn't get very far, but that year they made it to the Final Four and lost to Bainbridge and West Valley on the Mariners' field. It just occurs to me that somebody that's very young may not even know that place is Safeco. What is it called now? T-Mobile Park, I think?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But the Mariners' home stadium, and the Blazers were able to get in a couple games on that hallowed ground back in 09. So.
Yeah, what excitement. That's really fun.
Yep.
And let's see, what else is going on at Timberline?
Well, softball looking to make it into the playoffs. There's just 7-9. They had wins over Gig Harbor and Capitol and lost to Peninsula this week. In the 6-1 win over Capitol, Carissa Frederick had two hits and scored two runs. While back in the circle after a while away and probably another lazy thing I didn't do. I probably should have checked why she was out, maybe an injury, maybe some other reason. But Jasmine Polanco, their sophomore pitcher, had missed some games, and Timberline just got absolutely smashed. I mean, they were giving up 18, 20 runs in some of the games. But with Jasmine back in the circle, she struck out 9, gave up just 2 hits, and they got that win over Capital. And they go to North Thurston this afternoon, and a victory in that game would send them into next week's district tournament at the RAC. So a pretty high-stakes game for Timberline today against North Thurston, which is kind of playing out the strings, so we'll see how that one goes. Soccer finished up 10-8-1. They opened district play with a 3-2 road upset of Evergreen down in Vancouver, thanks to Ivan Lee's game-winning goal. But then they lost to Auburn Riverside, and they are out. And in track and field, the Blazers finished 5th in the combined standings at the Shaner meet. Among the boys, Vincent Sabato finished 2nd in both the 100 and 200. Gage Pedro won the triple jump in a PR of 43 feet 8 inches that lifted him into 3rd place statewide in 3A. And Destiny Robertson won the girls 100. While Abigail Pedro doubled in the shot and districts, shot and discus.
There we go.
And the Blazers, yeah, I said district so many times, as soon as I saw D-I-S, that's what I said. But anyway, they will be in the 3A championships again today across town at Thurston.
All right. Very good. What an exciting show we got going on today. And don't go away. There is more coming up next. 3A Yelm and our interviews with Coach Lindsey Walton, players Vivian Watts, Molly Embry, and Ashlyn Avon. Later, Bear runner Ethan Coleman. But first, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. Serving the community for 100 years and counting, you are listening to 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Reduced speeds will begin on 509 heading south in SeaTac at 128th Street caused by collision. On 167 southbound between 18 and 512, your drive is 8 minutes. In Seattle, as you approach mid-Boeing Fields on I-5 northbound, an accident is blocking the left lane. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Savis.
This isn't your regular cola, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. This is cola like you've never had it before. Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Just announced, Olympia's first music festival in over 20 years. The first annual South Sound Block Party this August. A 2-day outdoor music festival featuring Bully. South Sound Block Party, over 15 live bands, a beer garden, and food trucks. Friday, August 26th and Saturday, August 27th on the waterfront at the Port of Olympia. See the full lineup and buy your tickets at southsoundblockparty.com. South Sound Block Party, presented by Toyota of Olympia.
I am Dr. Adam Salib. Today I wanted to talk to you about heel pain. Some causes can be what's called plantar fasciitis. Another common reason can be Achilles tendonitis. The best way to treat heel pain is resting, icing, and elevation. However, don't suffer from foot and ankle pain. Let the doctors of Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates help you get back to your daily activities and active lifestyle. Visit anklefoot.net to schedule your appointment today.
Your best foot forward. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
Sports Fan, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
Morning clouds with a chance of rain late morning and highs in the mid to upper 50s. Rain increases tonight through tomorrow morning. Overnight lows in the mid 40s. 95.3.
Let her go.
And welcome back. We are The Baseline. We are actually Dave Weber, and I'm Noel Wall. This is The Baseline. And we're here thanks to people like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates. They're celebrating 20 years in our community, helping patients get up and get moving and maintaining good health. Find Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees, who does very excellent work. Find Spin Tees at their newest location behind Minuteman Press in West Olympia. And better yet, look them up online at spinteesprints.com. We also thank Putnam Lee Potman Daly, taking the insult out of injury, Premier Workers' Compensation, and Car Accident Attorneys. We are up to 3A Yelm, where the boys had no action. The girls did, though, Dave.
Yeah, they finished up their regular season on a six-game winning streak. They're now 16-4 in Monday's finale, which was a 9-1 rout of visiting Capital. Kendall Lawson and Karis Sanders each had three hits, and Vivian Watts pitched an 11-strikeout two-hitter, and they are ranked number 8 in the 3A RPI right now and will meet for sure. I think it's maybe mentioned in the interview as a possibly, but they will meet, according to the WIA's website, Auburn Riverside in the first round of the District 3 and 4 bi-district tournament at noon on Thursday at the Rack in Lacey.
All right, and you did get a chance to talk with Coach Lindsey Walton. Here's that interview.
Who's come along to, has been improving?
Vivian Watts, who's our number one pitcher. Her ball has, she's been hitting her spots really well. Her ball's been moving more. So it's a great time for everything, like for pitchers to be, you know, falling in line and getting their job done. Kendall Lawson, our catcher, she's been doing a phenomenal job behind the plate, like keeping the balls in front. At bats, she's been putting the ball in play really consistently and well. So she's been stepping up her offensive game.
Anybody else?
Alyssa DeWeese, who is our leadoff, she sees a lot of pitches, which is great. Her on-base percentage is high, so getting that, you know, first hitter on so that our next lefty slapper can bunt her in or slap her in is Alyssa DeWeese and Kaylee Thompson are 1 and 2.
Right.
They've been working well together.
Okay.
Let's see, Ashlyn Avon, Molly Embry. So Molly, she's our second baseman. Ashlyn is our third baseman. They're just solid ball players. They hit the ball for power. They are leaders on the field. They are just all around solid athletes. And we look to them to get things done on the field and offensively as well. Ashlyn, she's got a lot of power. And Molly is, she's great at hitting to, she's lefty, hitting to, so the left side of the field. She actually, when she can hit it there, like she just last game hit it and it hit the line, left field line, she got a triple out of it. So speed, if she, yeah, she's very, very fast, yeah.
What do you need to do to really go all the way?
We win that first game on Thursday next week. You automatically go to state, right? So we'll play at noon at the Rack on Thursday next week. And at this point in time, last I checked, it would be Auburn Riverside. But we need to make the routine plays, bottom line. We got to be able to just field those routine ground balls, fly balls, make good throws, and not beat ourselves.
You had issues with that this year?
We've had more errors on defense than we'd like.
Okay.
Yes. But Reese, as of late, we've been cleaning it up in the field, and our fielders have had our pitchers back.
All right, very good.
All right, that is Yelm fast pitch coach Lindsey Walton. She did mention players Vivian Watts, Molly Embry, and Ashlyn Avon. Here they are.
First question is, you guys started out, had a few losses right at the start of the year, and then since then you've been pretty unbeatable. What made the difference?
I'm Ashlyn Avon. I think that at the beginning of the season, we didn't have as much bonding as a team, and there was a certain point in, like, halfway through the season where we all kind of just, like, got together and we just started having fun, and that kind of helped us come together and get some clutch wins.
Anybody else want to add to that?
Yeah, I'll add to that. Vivian Watts. I think that it was really intense last year with us because we were undefeated 10-0 last year, and I think we were put on this line of, you know, we have to win every game, and kind of like what Ashton said, we relaxed a little bit and talked with each other, and we bonded really well, and I think we just kind of relaxed a little bit from it.
I think that we just found ourselves, you know. We took a day, we took a mental day, and it really showed through our game how we can come together as a team, and it's not all about the wins and the score, and it's more about us coming together.
So when you took a mental day or whatever other, what other things, what did you do?
We all sat around together and we talked about what we could do to make our game, like to play better as a team, and we all agreed that bonding needed to be somewhere in there because it just kind of felt like we're all kind of playing individually. And so we all kind of, we partnered up everybody and made accountability partners.
Given that you've finally gotten yourselves bonded and so forth, what's the best thing about this team?
Okay, Molly Embry. I think the best thing about this team is the culture. It's just, I don't know.
We've all played together.
We've all played together for so long, and we know each other's game, and it's just, it's so much easier to play with people who you know.
And what teams have you guys played on together?
Taboo.
Yeah. Some of us have been playing with each other for about 10, more than 10 years, actually.
So since you were just tiny.
Really young. Yeah, and even with the sophomores and the freshmen on this team, like, it doesn't really change anything because they're always positive and very supportive, and they keep a good attitude, and they're fun. They're crazy.
Vivian, what makes these two good players?
Molly's smile. Like, she always tries to keep everybody in a positive mood, and she lets things go really easily. And with Ashlyn, I think that her calmness really levels out some of these girls on the team. And she has a good voice. It may not be the loudest, but she's definitely very supportive for others.
Okay. Molly, what do you
think? With Vivian, I think it's just her drive towards the game and her spot on the pitcher's mound. She just dominates the team and just leads us to success. And then Ashlyn, I'd say her bat. It's insane. She goes out there, she does her thing, and we want to strive to be like her.
Well, for Vivian, this year, she's been, she's my partner as, like, the leaders and the captains on the team, and she's been, like, a bigger voice than I have, I'd probably say. I'm just not very out there with it, and she's kind of helped us all come together, and just with pitching, with just as a captain overall, she's really, like, led us this season. And then Molly, she's just got a positive attitude, and when somebody makes a mistake, you know, she's like, that's right, next one, you got it. And I think she just brushes things off really easily and helps other people do that.
So that's all the good stuff. What do you guys need to do to succeed in the postseason?
Communication, probably. That's key because a lot of people have been taught many different things, and we all come together, and it's just kind of sometimes it bashes, sometimes it works, you know, and I think that's the one thing is as long as we're communicating about the next play, what we're going to do next, I think we're going to work together well.
Anybody else?
I think cleaning up the errors on defense as well. I think if we come into a clear mind, clear space, we'll succeed more. And also on our offense, too, is just being a little bit more relaxed up to the plate and be ready for your pitch.
I also think our energy is key. Coming into each game with, like, a clear, fresh mind and keeping the energy at the highest point it's been in some of our hardest games is what's going to take us to the next game.
Okay, so Yelm over the years has always been in the state tournament, always done pretty darn good in the state tournament, but never got the biggest trophy. How big would that be to finally be the team that did that?
Huge. Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on us to be able to do that, and I think as long as we kind of ignore that pressure, and because we all know we can do it, and as long as we play to our potential, it's definitely possible, and if we do it, it's just even bigger. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give some credit to my little sophomore, Maddie, because a lot of these teams that are coming into state only have one pitcher and one catcher duo, and they're going to get really tired coming into these districts, and they might not make it to state, and, you know, having more pitchers than just one is really important, and, you know, it's going to help us succeed.
Are each of you planning to play in college, and if so, where are you going to go?
Yeah, we actually just did our signing.
Vivian, I want to make sure.
Yeah, Vivian.
Okay, yeah.
We just did our signing yesterday all together. I am going to Pierce College in Lakewood.
And Molly?
I'm going to further my education and softball career at Whitworth University.
Whitworth? Okay. Good. Yes. And Ashley?
I'm as well as going to continue my education and softball career at Linfield University in McMinnville, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
And you're going to play softball. You're not going to wrestle or anything?
I got offered, but I'm just going to stick with softball.
Stick with softball and...
All right, Yelm seniors, Ashlyn Avon, Molly Embry, and Vivian Watts, plus coach Lindsey Walton, they could go to state if they win their next game.
They could. You know what's really interesting in listening to that interview again? I think I've gone out and talked to groups of players from three of the local softball teams, Olympia, Tumwater, and now Yelm. And when I asked that question about what can you do better to succeed, they all say communication, which is really interesting because from the outside looking in, you think of baseball, softball is really the most individualized team sport because when you're in the batter's box, you're all by yourself. When you're throwing the ball from the pitcher's rubber, you're all by yourself. When you're catching a fly ball, nobody's helping you. But they all say that in the end, communication is still vital in the sport. So I find that pretty interesting.
All right. I think you're right about that. So we'll be interested to hear more about what happens with the fast pitch there. What else going on at Yelm?
Well, I had some track and field success in the Shaner meet. As people remember, the boys had won the Shelton Invitational the week before. They came in, the boys and girls combined, came in third in the Shaner meet. Excuse me, Kyler Ronquillo won the 110 hurdles. In a PR of 14.67, and that's good for second among 3A hurdlers statewide. And he finished second in the long jump. Sophomore Braden Platt was named the boys' athlete of the meet after setting a meet record 189 feet 8 inches in the javelin and winning the shot put in 56.10 and a quarter, and second in the discus in a PR of 147.8, which is sixth best in 3A this year. Of course, that's well behind Jeremiah Nubby, but the interesting thing is Braden Platt has seemingly passed Nubby by in the shot put, which, of course, is Jeremiah's third best event. But nonetheless, when you've got a national star in the area and you manage to outdo them in even their least event, that's pretty impressive for Braden Platt as only a sophomore.
Yeah.
And pole vault was canceled for the boys in that meet because of the weather. But junior Jordan Lasher settled for a third-place finish in the 110 hurdles in a PR 15.49, and that allowed him to take over eighth place in 3A. And for the girls, they had Isabel Wright-Cloran finishing second in both the long jump and triple jump, and they are in the South Sound Conference meet at North Thurston today and tomorrow.
All right. Very good. So we are going to take our final break of the day today. Don't go away. There is more to come because in our next segment, we got Capital and 4A Olympia. Plus, we're going to hear from Ethan Coleman. He won the 1300 Friday in a dash that was a splash. But first, traffic, weather, word from our sponsors. It's the Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Reduced speeds will begin on 509 heading south in SeaTac at 128th Street caused by collision. On 167 southbound between 18 and 512, your drive is 8 minutes. In Seattle, as you approach mid-Boeing Field on I-5 northbound, an accident is blocking the left lane. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Anna Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. Need to hire? Need Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates in one place. Sponsor a job and immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. End foot and heel pain. Call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates.
One of the finest golf courses in the Pacific Northwest beckons. You're invited to play the second annual Tumwater Area Chamber of Commerce Golf Tournament at Tumwater Valley Golf Course in the gorgeous landscape of Tumwater Valley, featuring a championship caliber golf experience. Conquer Tumwater Chamber's 18-hole scramble tournament for great prizes and bragging rights. This year's Tumwater Golf Tournament's even bigger and better than last year, and you'll build camaraderie and have a great time. It's Tumwater Chamber's Golf Tournament, Friday, June 17th. Build your team and register early at TumwaterChamber.com. Click the Golf Tournament tab for details.
Bonal Beach Resort and Casino was just named Best Players Club in the state. They have unmatched daily benefits for players, free hotel stays, and more. Plus, the casino is 100% smoke-free. It's Bonal Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores. Winners happen here.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as your pain and disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years, a firm like Putnam Lee Potvin Daly, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Fedarko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam Lee Potvin Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
I'm Greg Seals of Crane's Total Office. We're proud to be local and proud to be the official office supply store of KGY. When you see our vans running around the South Sound, we're having fun delivering to you and your neighbors. If you're working from home or need supplies for your office, there is no order too big or too small. From notepads to ink cartridges, any type of office supply you may need, go to cranesoffice.com. Keeping it local since 1985.
Crane's Total Office is the official office supply store of 95.3 KGY.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
Olympia's greatest kids. 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
Let her go. And welcome back to The Baseline, Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. You're with Dave and Noel, thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. Also, L&E Bottling, our Pepsi distributor, proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. And we come to the state's capital and Capital Cougars. Dave, tell us what's going on with the Cougars.
Well, they've been struggling a little bit in the team sports. Baseball has already been done for the year. Softball's 3-14. They lost to Yelm, Central Kitsap, and Timberline since our last show. And they will host Gig Harbor today at 4 o'clock. Boys soccer, 3-9-3. They did get a win over Black Hills to finish up the season, the non-league victory. Track and field, though, they're pretty darn good. And in the Shaner meet and the combined boys and girls standings, they came in fourth. Sean Jackson won the boys 400 in a PR of 49.01. That is second statewide in 3A. And Oliver Serbier won the 800 in a PR of 201.09. On the girls' side, Cora Landers was second in the 100. Addison Harrington was second in the 400 in a PR of 1 minute and 49 hundredths. And Auburn Rahali lost that photo finish to Alyssa Duncan of Tumwater. They both were timed in 15.48 for the 100 hurdles. So she was judged to be second in that race. But she won the 300 hurdles in a season's best 49.01. And Amanda Mall won the pole vault in a meet record 14 feet and was third in the long jump. She actually didn't miss in the pole vault, might have been able to go higher, but stopped jumping because of that hard rain we talked about that fell throughout the meet and actually canceled the entire boys pole vault competition.
Yeah, I was one of a small clutch of guys over there, people over there watching her jump. She cleared 14 easily in the rain, and it just unloaded after that, and they folded everything up.
Yeah, you don't want to, especially when you've got, we've talked a lot about her and her sister Hannah all year long, how dominant they are in the pole vault in their age group worldwide, not just locally. And you certainly don't want to risk an injury once you've already won the event, set a meet record. You don't want to strain yourself trying to go higher in bad conditions. I noticed that Hannah Mall didn't compete in anything at the Shaner meet, so maybe she had a minor injury or something. But, you know, just not something you're going to do when you have that much at stake, I guess. And they do have the they will be, of course, competing for the Cougars in the postseason, which starts up this afternoon at North Thurston, as we mentioned. And that's about it for the Cougars.
Okay. Olympia Bears, they have had a pretty good season. Now, what I saw says 19-4 overall, 16-4 in league. So that means all their losses came in league play.
Yeah, there's some tough teams in that SPSL. They're got an 11-8 win over Tahoma in their bi-district playoff opener. Ryan Hyder, Evan Nickel, and Zach Fuller each had two hits for Olympia against the other Bears. And they will meet Curtis in a semifinal matchup at 11 a.m. tomorrow. They're already assured of a state tournament berth. So that will just be for a chance to move through the district tournament. There will be, of course, the championship game will be later in the day if they beat Curtis. So a lot of action for them tomorrow.
Curtis was 12-9, I think. So they should have a good opportunity there.
And I forgot to write down where those games are being played. So hopefully if you're a Bears fan, you already know that. But that's unfortunate. I should have marked that down. But meanwhile, softball is 16-4. They lost to South Kitsap, but then came back to win over Bellarmine Prep and Rogers. Sammy Potvin fired a 13-strikeout, no-walk, two-hitter in Thursday's 11-0 rout of Rogers. Leadoff hitter Alyssa Hoff led the offense with three hits, including a double, and scored two runs. And they are likely to open bi-district play a week from today in Kent at noon against Decatur or Kennedy Catholic. The NPSL has not quite settled its final standings yet, but those are the two 4A teams that are lurking towards second place, which is who the Bears are going to play. And the success continued through soccer. They are 12-4-1. They had a 4-1 win over Sumner in the bi-district playoffs on Tuesday. It was 0-0 at the half, but Gabe Crawford, Jacob Reeves, Micah Wilhelm, and Corey Killipall scored in the second half to allow the Bears to coast there. And the Bears will now host Camas tonight at 6 in the district fifth place game. The winner will advance to state, and the loser will be out.
All right.
Track.
We're in track, yes.
We are in track. Last thing to talk about. I don't know if you want me to stop when I get to Ethan Coleman, or do you want me to just read through the whole track thing?
Well, let's do everything and end with Ethan.
Okie doke. Sounds good. And the Bears won the Shaner meet. As I mentioned before, it's a combined total between the girls and the boys, and they won it by about 40 points. So pretty dominant performance by the Bears in that one. Kenyatta McNeese Jr. won the 100 meters. He had a PR of 11.2. Connor Johnson won the 200 in a PR, 22.94, and was second in the 400 in another PR, 49.44, which is good for third in the state. So you can see, as I mentioned earlier, despite the absolute misery of rainfall that both of us can attest to from being out there, there was still a whole bunch of good performances being turned in by kids up and down that that meet. Ethan Coleman, who we're going to hear from in a minute, he won the 1600 in 415.6. That was the only event he competed in. He had done a 3200 on Wednesday night at Olympia. That's kind of a signature thing that the Bears started during the COVID pandemic, where they have an all-star meet in the 3200, which is pretty much the only race. There's a distance medley relay as well, but the only individual race that night is the 32. Ethan won that as well, but we talked about that last week, but that's why he only did the one event at Shaner. And on the girls' side, Abel Woolen doubled in the 200 and 400. Caitlin Rigg claimed the 800. Samantha Christie, the 3200. And Claire Lee was second in the pole vault, or as they might say, first in the non-Mall Sisters pole vault. I used to say that when my daughter did track at Timberline. If somebody did really well in the long jump or triple jump, they would say they broke the non-LaShonda Christopher record, because there had been an All-American girl for both Timberline, then transferred to River Ridge when it opened back in the 90s, who was just so far ahead. She was like 4 feet ahead of anyone else, that they said it was the non-LaShonda triple jump record. And Claire Lee got the non-Mall pole vault title.
All right. I got to ask, does your daughter still hold a record in that meet?
Oh, why? Funny you should ask. Not that I didn't grab the program and shove it right in your face when we were at the meet. Yeah, she still holds the high jump record at 5 feet, 8 inches. It was funny. I showed her the program later in the weekend, and she looked through and she said, "Oh, I was athlete of the meet." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I guess you were." I didn't remember that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I always told people that, despite the fact that she was pretty good in basketball as well, I always enjoyed watching track more, because there was nobody complaining that their kid should play more or that the wrong person shot the ball or whatever. In track and field, you either run faster or throw farther. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's none of that, it's all politics complaining. So track is a really pure sport, and it's fun to watch.
All right. One of the things we talked about is Ethan Coleman and the 1300. Dave did get a chance to talk to him after that in the pouring rain. You can hear it on the interview. Here's Ethan.
As Ethan rounds up his career, what are your thoughts when you look back on his career?
Yeah, I've never.
And I should say, and Ethan's coach.
Never had anybody as talented and as hard a worker. I think both those things he's got.
And obviously, this isn't like something people love to do, run in the rain, but how do you think he did with the conditions?
I think that was awesome. Running 4:15, I mean, you look at kind of where guys' PRs are. I mean, he was less off of his PR than the other guys.
So I asked the question for both of you guys. Uh-huh. You had your 3200 invite the other night.
Yeah.
How did that go? Was that as good as it was the year before?
Oh, you couldn't match, I mean, what that was, without any, you know, invites last year or state meet or anything. I knew that there was, you couldn't emulate it, but it was really pretty fun. And for Ethan to go out against, like, really awesome competition and to win by 100 meters, you know, it was kind of a fun last race for him on the track. It was really neat.
All right. And Ethan, how was that for you? I mean, did you enjoy that the other night?
I mean, it was super fun seeing all those guys race and PR and have a good time. I mean, the race up for me in front, a little boring, a little,
yeah,
very grindy, but even still, such a great atmosphere to be in. I'm with, I mean, the full support of the people in the stadium. Super.
How many
super
people fun. Were there?
That's hard to say. In no. the
was it more than usual? Or?
Well, I think it was a different crowd than usual. Yeah. A lot of staff, lots of teachers
okay.
from school
yeah.
Came out to support, which is super cool.
So you've always been on a good basis with your teachers throughout high school?
I think I have. Actually, that's one of the skills I pride myself on.
I hear from teachers all the time the joy that is happening. So.
Okay, well, speaking of joy, how was it running today in this rain?
You know, days like this aren't made for PRs, but it's fun. I mean, it's yeah. fun just going out there and you're three laps in and you don't even know what's happening anymore. All you know is you're in pain and you're going fast.
This is for both of you too, I guess, but what's your main focus going into the postseason? Is it the 16, 32, or both? Or?
I'd say 32 is always my focus. Yeah. I mean, really, high school track doesn't have the distances that I'm mostly interested in. 2 miles, just even that can be short at times, but I mean, I think focusing on the 32 and I think the 4x4 too, actually, because the 4x4, we're putting together a really fun team. I think it's going to be cool to see what we can do as state.
So what are you going to be doing? 32, 16, 4x4? And
I think 32, 16, 4x4.
And not the 8, though. You're going to skip the 8.
Well,
a little too much for postseason.
Probably, but yeah. You know, you never know with that.
Never know. What about that, coach? Any chance of that?
At league, I think 800.
Yeah, and at league, just get some points.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, pretty good. Anything else you guys want to say about the wrapping up of Ethan's career, either one of you?
Well, I think it's really just the beginning because I'm...
Yeah, but I mean high school.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a fun journey, and I mean, I really just encourage anyone who is, you know, thinking of doing a fall sport or spring sport or anything, do running. Do long-distance running, cross-country track. I mean, it changed my life. I mean, not just...
In what way?
Not just, you know, scholarships and recognitions. I mean, all that stuff is great, but it gave me so many life lessons. I mean, at Olympia especially, I mean, the program is just based around, you know, you're more than just a runner. I mean, Jesse and, you know, all the
coaches,
coaching staff. Yeah.
Coach a little bit?
Coach, I mean, they really care about you as people, yeah. You know, not just athletes.
So speaking of you just saying it's just the beginning, do you feel like you're on the right track for college? Are you where you want to be at this point?
I think I am. I've been planning with my coach, and, you know, it's been a weird season. I mean, we're just coming off of COVID and, you know, having all this sickness around. I mean, it is really strange, you know, going to school and pretty much everyone's sick. I mean, it's just like you never know who's going to be out what days. And it has an effect on the athletic season.
And you in the past, I remember you telling me in the fall that you usually don't do much in the summer in terms of competition. Is that the same way you're going to do it this year?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to Notre Dame for a summer program.
Okay.
And so I'm opting out of nationals and things like that to focus on schoolwork and focus on training for NCAA cross country.
You think that's a wise move, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. I think Ethan's got, in terms of his college choice and everything that went into it, he's got the right attitude.
Very good. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you standing here in the rain talking to me.
Yeah, in the rain after running 1,300 meters, there's Ethan Coleman, and what a career he's got in front of him, Dave.
Yeah, he does. You know, the college is really interesting because runners of long-distance runners never stop. They come in the fall, they do cross-country. In the wintertime, they do indoor. Springtime, they do outdoor. Sometimes they redshirt for one of them and not the other. So they have careers that tend to go on forever and a lot of racing going up ahead for Ethan. So it'll be interesting. And just a last note on the Olympia's prospects, that 4x4 relay team is one of the best in the state. And it's kind of interesting because it starts out with Kenyatta McNeese, who is their top sprinter. Then it goes to Connor Johnson and Parker Fouts, who are kind of the 400-meter type guys. And then it ends up with Ethan Coleman, who, as he said, is really more of a 5,000 and 10,000 guy, but they don't have that in high school. So interesting amalgamation of four guys, but they are one of the best 4x4 teams in the state.
All right. That is a lot of fun. Thank you, Dave, for everything. That's going to wrap up the show for today. The show, as always, has been brought to you by a passion for high school sports and the continued success of our student athletes. But mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors, so please do support them. If you missed anything, find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Later today, Michael Stein and Malte Gilmore bring you Only in a Can during the 3 o'clock hour. It's a look at some of the fun things going on in this area. There's always more. Thanks to Kevin the Brit Huffer for his help as our producer. And also, thanks to Nick Carey, who never has given us a bad time for taking so long to pack in an hour of coverage for all of the high school around the area. We really appreciate that. Right now, though, be sure to join us next Friday morning for the Baseline after the news. Time for the Friday Workday Kickoff on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.